part of the first one. So you, it's, they're still online. Like earlier, yesterday I did some of the, I went back and reviewed some of the abuses and do's and don'ts. But the etiquette part we won't do because then we ended up kind of going back over everything. So this is sort of meant to be like part two. But you, what you can do is go back and listen to the, it's still online, As and Roars, that you can go back and, if you didn't weren't here the first prophecy conference part one, then go back and listen to that. It'll be helpful. It'll help you know about etiquette also, just being released in more the not see things, but hear things, prophetic things that you hear. You know, there's no rule. I think the Holy Spirit has to show you. And, you know, there are things that Mary pondered in her heart. And, again, Joseph is a classic example. Joseph had a legitimate two dreams, but he didn't use a lot of wisdom in who he shared his dreams with. And so, if this is, we go back to the different ways that we hear God. The other one is the peace of God rules in our hearts. And so if you don't have peace about doing it, honor that. You know, it's better to be slow about God's business than fast about the devil's. That's a really good principle. You know? And if you're not doing it right, but you're open, the Holy Spirit will show you. He'll speak to you. What else? Yes, ma'am, Donna? Right.
But you don't exactly feel like you have the entire interpretation either.
Right.
Do you just take what you know and pray that and then just wait for the rest of it? Or
I mean, you can either do that because, or you can go to someone you trust who has very, who's accountable, who you trust with confidentiality. There are people in my life that... if I'm not sure about the interpretation of a dream, I'll call them. Early on, as I began to move more prophetic stuff, I got dreams, and I got, and I have more. Like I said, I dream every day. I always dream. I've always been an avid dreamer, but I generally wasn't very good at interpreting my own dreams, and so I had several people that I would bounce those things off of. But as time has gone on, I've become much. But I may bounce like a very real significant dream. I have some intercessors. I had a significant dream a few months ago. And so I got with my intercessors we met. I just bounced it off of them, see what ideas they had. And so and that's a good thing, to find somebody that you know has some insight into dreams. And you could just call and say, here's what I'm seeing. Or keep it to yourself. God will show you over time. Yes, sir?
One morning in church, I had a vision of this woman that I was supposed to tell her something, or I don't know exactly, but the way she was dressed, it was the clue as to who I was supposed to tell this. She wasn't there. There was nobody dressed anything like that. And so later on, I got to thinking, was she supposed to come to church that morning and didn't? Or, I know you don't know the answer to that, but is that like, I need to be looking for a lady dressed like that, or I don't know what to do with it?
You know, I mean, I think, yes. I think it's all of those. Somebody tells you that there's going to be somebody in a certain way, you look, you go there and you look and see. If they're not there, I think I've told you the story before, but I'll tell it really quick. I was in Uganda. We were in the Apir Hotel. We had a clergy meeting with clergy from all over the country, and I had this word, and the Lord was moving in some pretty powerful ways. Mark with Johnson was there, and I had a word for somebody named Stephen, and I was really unsure, Stephen or Stephan or Stephanie, something like that, and nobody responded. And so I said, whoever that is, God wants to change your life today. And it was a real general word, but it was like, God's going to change your life today. But I went after that for about 10 or 15 minutes. But I knew that I knew that I knew. I just couldn't let go of it. I said, there's somebody, and nobody said anything. And so I finally said, well, I'm going to meet somebody today who's got that name, and God's going to change your life. And so that night, we met the elders from the cathedral there at a restaurant up on a hill. And all the little places where you sat were outdoors. They were like thatched huts with open sods. And so we got there a couple minutes late, and so some of the elders that were there, and I was with Bishop either Hannington or Eusto, I forget. But as we were walking up, because I'm looking for Stephen or Stephan or something like that, so as we're walking up, I hear the waiter taking an order, and one of the people say, well, thank you, Stephen. So I run up there, and I said, your name's Stephen? He said, yeah. I said, Stephen, are you a Christian? He said, yeah. I said, are you a born-again Christian? You have to use that, differentiate that. After he said, no, I'm not a born-again Christian. I said, well, wouldn't you like to be a born-again Christian and know that your sins are totally forgiven? Your destiny one day is going to be heaven? He said, I would like to be a born-again Christian. I mean, it went exactly this fast. I said, well, let's just pray right now. So he prayed and received Christ into his life. And when we left that restaurant, he was witnessing to the whole kitchen staff, to the whole staff that was serving. So, yes. Look, it's a new look for that person.
I have a question about your not much of a Bible here in Selma. Mm-hmm. Before moving to Asheville, I lived in Colorado, and the city I was in out there, we Bible study, prayed for the Bible plan. And then nothing happened. When I moved to Asheville, the first time I saw one, was a revival going on. I said, God, you're playing with it. You really are. But that revival in Asheville really fizzled out. It didn't go anywhere at all. And I was wondering, the trouble, I think, in Asheville at least, is that it's getting all the churches together. It's getting everybody on board, you know, with God and revival in the city. And I was wondering, have you been able to do that here? And if so, how have you been able to?
Somebody may from Selma can answer that better. Even yes, and we have, and everything in the spirit realm that's going to be sustainable. There's a one word that makes all the difference. It's about intentionality. You got to have somebody who's intentional and won't let people stop being intentional, and then it becomes contagious. And as leaders carry that. And leaders can kill a revival, but there's got to be being intentional, staying with it. And for here, one of the things that happened here, I'll share that a little bit this afternoon in my session if I get a chance to. I don't want to keep you here too late. But when I first heard the words about revival was that one was 12 years ago when I saw that vision about the snowfall and then the whole thing about the tsunami. So I knew that there was a revival coming to the earth. And as I plugged in, I heard that there were a lot of other prophetic voices saying the same thing. And so I knew that. But the snowfall thing, now for me, because there are some of you here who aren't in the CEC, I knew that was a word, because that happened in our House of Bishops. That was a word for the CEC. But when I went to see Bob Jones, which was a few months later in that process, I had that dream about Spiritual Olympics being built in Selma, and then he shared what he had seen a few years ago. I knew that God had spoken, already spoken through another prophet 15 years earlier, and that there was a revival coming to Selma. And so what I did with that is, at that point, I became like Elijah. And I just stayed in the birthing position and began to speak to some degree. But I would say, are other people have been praying for revival, you're never the first one. You know, but we began to decree, just declare the Selma revival. You know, because this thing with Elijah, it's fascinating. Is it 1 Kings 17? Is that right? It's actually chapter 18. Now Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a roar of a heavy shower." So before he even got in the birthing position, he already heard the sound in the spirit. He knew it already existed. That's before the thing appeared as the size of a man's fist. And so he got up on the mountain and he sent his servant back 7 times. And the servant finally came back. Every time he went, he didn't see anything as he looked out over. And then finally, the 7th time he came back, "I see a cloud the size of a man's fist." Well, Elijah stayed in that birthing position, that place of intercession, until it was a violent storm. But he saw it, he heard it in the spirit before there was even any visible sign of it. You see, this is one of the things. See, I believe it's God's will. For revival is just a restoration of normality. Revival is just Christ-likeness, geographically, or the government of God, the rule of Christ, and Christ is king, the rule of Christ in life, in an area, whatever, his presence. And so I believe that's God's will for everybody. I believe it's God's will for every area. But somebody's got to get a word from God. And when they get a word from God and they just realize this thing exists, it's in a holding pattern in the heavenlies, waiting for somebody or somebodies began to declare prophetically, you know, that this thing is real, like that place in Romans, you know. What's it say, the language? I like the way the King James said it. That which is not as though it were.
Yeah.
Because God has spoken that. And so you got to see it in the spirit. This is part of the whole prophetic intercession. You got to see it in the spirit. And once you do, you start talking about it. When we first started talking about revival here in Selma, people thought we were nuts because there was no sign of it, none. But I heard the sound of a shower, a heavy storm in the spirit. I saw it. And I just brought it. And we just tenacious at noon every day. "Lord, we thank you for the Selma revival. We thank you for the Selma revival. We thank you for the Selma revival." And then finally somebody else saw it in the spirit and they started adding their voice. And then you begin to see a little sign of it. One of the things God showed me one time in prayer is I had this open vision, and I saw that the soil, through prophetic declaration and intercession, had been seeded with revival. And as we continued to pray, those seeds began to prop up as different people around the city began to own that and declare the Selma revival and thank God for it. Then that seed would prop up with a crop in that area. You see, now we still have, you know, there were people who lived in Jerusalem who didn't realize what was going on the triumphal entry.
Right.
You know, and so you can have, well, I watch clergy sometimes, pastors, who just like live in a cave and never open their window because all they can think about is what's happening in their little cave.
Yeah.
You see, and at some point you have to come into the principle of agreement, like the 120 in the upper room. They were in agreement, and they were praying until. And where we're at in Selma, we're beyond the size of a man's fist now. We see it. People see it. People all over the city decree it. People all over the nation and the world are saying it. And every time they do, every time a Mike Hutchins comes here, sees it, and starts talking about it, he's sowing into the Selma revival.
Amen.
You know, we're recognizing a child can be born, but if you don't recognize them, they'll have no identity.
Right.
And so we give... We give, just like in the demonic, sometimes you need a name to have authority. Not always, but it helps. But also, when you give names to the things that God's birthing, it gives. And so there's hardly anybody running around saying the Alabama Awakening. But when Kyle Searcy and I were in Birmingham, he spoke that to us one day, showed us that baby had been born, but nobody was recognizing it. It was born that day, but nobody was given... And so I don't know about Kyle, but I talk about every day I'm now praying, thanking God for the Alabama Awakening. Just like we did for years for the Selma Revival. And you just stay in your heart in the posture of birthing until finally somebody comes along and goes, "I see it." And you go, "Good. Now you start saying it too." And one of the real thrilling moments for me a few years ago was with Vaughn Bowen. I heard that she came and she spoke at Blue Jean. I don't know if it was a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago. And I heard all she preached about was a cell revival. And so everywhere I would go over the last few years, I'd talk about the cell revival, and I would even rehearse them. Why don't you just every day start thanking God for the cell revival? And so I would say to people in the city, get a word.
Yeah.
Seek God, because God wants every place to experience revival. Get a word, and be the one who's willing to stand and say, I hear the sound of a heavy shower, though there's no sign of anything yet. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, blessing of the righteous is exalted.
Speak the blessing into the
yeah.
situation.
We'll do one more, and then we'll turn over to Mike. Do you have another question or comment? Donna, do you have a comment?
You got it.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Absolutely.
Amen.
And he said, we're carrying my presence everywhere we serve. And my glory is changing the atmosphere. The glory coming out of us.
Right.
From him is changing the atmosphere.
Right. Mike mentioned earlier the same glory that the Father gave Jesus, Jesus has given us. And so we all are glory containers. Everything that Jesus has, we have. As you are, as I was in this world, so are you.
Yep.
Everything that Jesus has, everything the Father has, Jesus has, and they've completed him. But revival is when you're actually carrying that glory. And he died for us, not just to contain it, but to carry it.
Right.
So revival is just normal. You with me? But we've settled for abnormal, unnormal for so long, we just call abnormal normal. That's true about healings.
Yes, that's
right?
True.
And so, to me, it's just not that mystical. Well, does God want to bring revival to New Orleans? Well, yeah, of course he does. He wants every Christian there to experience normal. They're all glory containers, and they should be glory carriers. And carriers don't just experience it. They infect other people for it. But you got to get some folks. When they prayed in the upper room, the promise was already given. He said, wait on the promise. Every believer has been promised it's yours. Remember me sharing before, last year, I think, praying, oh God, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, I want it all. And the Lord, first thing he said to me was, almost audibly, he said, so do I. And I get to go first. I thought, let's change subjects, you know, because I knew what he was saying to me. I thought, oh, no, no, no. And so I'm praying and repenting and all the stuff you do. And I'm over here lighting a candle, doing that charismatic act of lighting a candle, because as long as that thing burns, my prayers burn. That's in the Bible. That's the Old Testament. As long as that incense was going, as long as those candles were burning, prayers, intercession were going up. That's not Catholic or religion. That's charismatic. Aren't you glad there's more to it?
Amen.
Right? You know what was boring? Remember when charismatics first started dancing, a little charismatic two-step that they all did? I got so glad when they started doing other things. I'm thinking, man, there's other dances you can do. And so all this is charismatic to me. And so God's desire, I believe God's already spoken the word. He said, go and wait for what's already been promised. You know, and so they were waiting in faith for what was already promised. You see? And when God was speaking to me, I said, oh, Lord, you know, I want it all. And finally one day he said, Chuck, you got it all. You've always had it all. I said, okay, I'd like to experience it all.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? It was real complicated. Then why don't you receive it all? For just as you received him, Colossians 2:6, so walk ye in him.
Yeah.
That's true for individuals and for areas. We've made everything so freaking hard. We need some folks to hear about the promise for their area and start standing and believing and acting like it is so when it isn't so in order for it to be so, because you know it is so. He says it so. All right? All righty.